Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, this is Wrestling Radio. I'm your host, Dirt, and this is episode, 142. Thank you guys for listening today. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of news and stuff going on out there. There's, of course, this episode of Raw from this last week we got to talk about. Boy, that episode was all over the place. Not a big fan of that as a go-home show. It hit some points that I think it needed to, but there are a couple things I think I would have done differently. So I guess we'll talk about that also. We've got a voicemail to get to today. We've got some more questions and comments. One other thing I want to say real quick is I got a voicemail. I don't check my voicemail as often as I need to. And I got a voicemail, and I need to respond to it. I just have no idea when I'm going to have time. But I'm just going to say this in case you are listening, Oscar. I will try to give you a call sometime, probably early next week. And let's just leave it at that. Hope he's listening. But I'm glad you guys are listening, whoever you are out there. Hopefully there's more than like one or two of you. But anyway, this is, again, Wrestling Radio Pop Culture Network. And I've now wasted like a minute doing this intro. So maybe we should get to something here. We have a voicemail. I'm going to play not the whole thing. There's something happened in the recording of the voicemail. I don't know if he happened to be like somewhere where a fire alarm was going off or what the deal was, but there's this this noise in the background. You're going to hear it. I've tried to filter it out, and I just can't do it. So I'm going to play a snippet of this voicemail, not the entire thing, and then we'll discuss it. So hold on, everybody, and let's take a listen to this voicemail real quick.
Hey, Doug, Honey, or the hybrid one, if you want to call me that. It's cool. I just had a quick question, like, what's your take on Triple H's return? Do you think he's going to make it to WrestleMania as one of the 40 competitors, or do you think they're going to save him until WrestleMania?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and cut it off there. You guys can hear that. Am I the only one hearing that high-pitched sound in the background? Do I have, like, dog hearing now or something, or can everybody hear that sound? Because that's one of those, like, nails on chalkboard type. And it's probably just the connection that the phone had or something. I don't think he was in a burning building, had an alarm going off. But you never know. You never know on this show. But what do I feel about Triple H? I think Triple H is going to come back for the Royal Rumble. The story all along was Triple H wanted to do a program with Sheamus for WrestleMania. And so I would just assume, I thought he would actually appear on television this week, or at least they would play his music. Sheamus would be in a match, and Triple H's music would hit, and Sheamus would go to look, and then he'd get thrown out, or distracted, whatever. And that would set up for the return. But I'm pretty sure Triple H is going to return at the Royal Rumble. He's going to be one of those surprise entrance guys. He's going to be the one who eliminates Sheamus. And then Sheamus will probably, trip him up so that he gets thrown out or whatever. And they'll set up the feud between those two to head into WrestleMania. And Tony here, later on in his message, he mentions that Triple H does have a new movie coming out, The Chaperone. And he said, Triple H has got to come back because he's got to promote that movie because otherwise no one's going to hear about the movie. And you're absolutely right. That movie is going to get really no press. No one's going to give a crap about that movie. And So, yeah, he does need to come back for that. And I'm, like I said, I thought for sure they would do something on Raw to kind of hint towards it. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be, you know, Sheamus is King Sheamus. Triple H is going to come back, you know, because he's the King of Kings, because apparently he's the Jesus of wrestling. Because in case you guys didn't know, that's who the King of Kings is. And yeah, it's going to be the feud between those two guys. So that's what I see happening there. Now, later in his message, he also asks, you know, if I hate The Miz as much as he does, that he can't stand The Miz and whatever. And yeah, I've said in the past, I've made it no secret that I don't like The Miz. I really don't. And some people said, well, you know, did you watch him on Real World or Road Rules or whatever that show was? Nope. You know, never saw any of that. He was on Tough Enough, but he was on the lame version of Tough Enough, the one that was part of SmackDown, just terrible. And Miz, listen, here's a problem I have with The Miz. The Miz is twofold. One, as I don't think he's that good of a wrestler. He's decent, but there's nothing special about him that elevates him. Not like a Bryan Danielson. If you wanted to take a risk on somebody, then Bryan Danielson as a wrestler is your guy. He just doesn't have the same level of charisma. He's not as good a talker as a lot of the other people. He's got a different way of selling himself. But, I mean, he's Bob Backlund. You know, if you take Daniel Bryan, excuse me, and you treat him like the new Bob Backlund, then fine, you know, no problem there. But, you know, I don't think The Miz is that good of a wrestler. And then as far as promo, people always say, well, The Miz is great on the mic. And I don't see it. A lot of people have said, well, The Miz is so great cutting promos. I have never once watched a Miz promo and thought, wow, now I need to see his match. Because that's the point of cutting the promo, is to get you excited to see this person wrestle. And I don't know if it's his bug eyes, his buck teeth, his faux hawk, whatever it is. There's just something about him. He doesn't have a great physique. He doesn't have that you know, TV quality look to him. He's not entertaining. He's not engaging. You know, I don't see anything in this guy that pushes him above a mid-carder. John Morrison is not that good on the mic as a face, but if he had the right manager or if he turned heel, then he'd be fine. He'd be perfect. He'd be the right guy to elevate out of that middle area. You know, Dolph Ziggler could be the next guy that you push up over on the SmackDown side. Jack Swagger could have been if he had been booked credibly. Okay, so that's issue one. Issue two is actually, you know, I said Jack Swagger could have been if he'd been booked credibly. Well, that's the other thing with The Miz. The Miz has not been booked like a champion. In fact, he's been booked basically worse than Rey Mysterio when Rey Mysterio was booked as world champion. And that was because Vince McMahon just hated Rey Mysterio. He was a small little guy, never thought he you know, should have gotten that opportunity. The fans spoke out against Vince. Vince lost. And so he said, fine, and he made Rey Mysterio champion, but then he jobbed him out every opportunity to let you know that Vince really didn't see Rey as championship material. So, you know, it's kind of tough to look at The Miz and say, well, he deserves to be a world champion when he's never won a match cleanly. He has to have Alex Riley there because Alex Riley has to interfere in the match. Otherwise, there's no way that The Miz can win. He doesn't look tough. Like I said, he doesn't have a great physique. He's a little doughy. You know, so he doesn't look threatening. And then again, the bug-eyed, the buck teeth, the faux hawk. He doesn't look like he's any sort of threat. And he doesn't have the wrestling credentials to be a threat. And WWE has gotten this in your mind the last few years where wins don't matter. If a guy wins a match, it really doesn't matter. That's the way that they've sold things. So the idea is The Miz never wins a match, but it doesn't matter because he's champion and he retains that championship through these cheap win opportunities. And that can work as long as you have a heel who is threatening but lazy. And Guy Smith, if you're listening, that's exactly who you were as world champion. You were lazy as world champion, but you were threatening, and that's why the gimmick worked. With The Miz, when he's champion, he's not threatening, but he still comes across as lazy. And so for me, it just does not work. So I agree. Not a good champion, and I don't buy it. I just Just don't buy it. All right, we're about 10 minutes in now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the message board, some other comments, questions you may have, and then we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw.
Hey folks, Apocalypse here. You're listening to Wrestling Radio, and when Dirt's not doing Wrestling Radio, he's with me on Comaholics, part of the Pop Culture Network. Check us out.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, whether you like it or not, I'm still your host, Dirt, here for Wrestling Radio on the Pop Culture Network. And we're going to get into some questions and comments from the message board before we get into our look at Monday Night Raw. First up, though, comment from Sweetaholic saying, Tito Santana actually did win his first match at WrestleMania 1, and he didn't win at WrestleMania again until WrestleMania 9 when he beat Papa Shango in a dark match. So there you go, guys. That's the guy who they thought about making into a world champion. Again, I like the guy. I thought he was a great wrestler, you know, fun guy to watch, fun guy to watch do promos and whatever, but they just didn't give him the credibility he needed. And like I said, credibility still means something, even though WWE tries to make you think that it doesn't. So Sweetaholic, thanks for researching that. Darth Duck here, Ryan Porter, asks, wasn't there an issue with last year's Royal Rumble broadcast on DirecTV? We went to the bar to watch the pay-per-view, and we're stuck with the Pro Bowl instead. I seem to remember it being a widespread issue, but I've been wrong before. Would that alter buy numbers, or were they already paid for at that point? That would have been the commercial broadcasts, commercial outlets like Buffalo Wild Wings or, places, bars, Hooters and Show Me's and, places like that that would get the pay-per-view up there. They would be under the DirecTV commercial account. So it's not people at home who had DirecTV would be able to watch it. Residential were fine. It was just commercial outlets, and it was only on DirecTV. So not through cable companies, not through Dish Network, just DirecTV, and only to those commercial outlets. So that's a smaller segment. And on top of that, those are, they have a term for that. I forget. They're called hot zones, I think is what WWE calls them. And you basically buy a license for a hot zone, and then you're allowed to broadcast their pay-per-views. That's why at the beginning, if you've ever ordered a pay-per-view from WWE, it pops up with this screen at the beginning, says this is a private broadcast protected under U.S. copyright, blah, 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 cannot be displayed residential or commercial without prior consent of WWE. And so the idea is if you at your house and you have a, residential pay-per-view, account or a residential account, and you're advertising that people can come to your house and pay $5 and watch the pay-per-view, you're putting up flyers or whatever around your neighborhood, technically they can shut you down. They can come and shut you down. They can cut off your feed because you're turning it into a commercial enterprise. If you're going to charge people to come and watch it, then that's commercial, and you're supposed to pay for this commercial account. And with the hot zones, they basically paid for a year, 6 months, something like that, for the right to just show everything. So it's a little different. And so that would not be the numbers. That doesn't count as the buys. That counts as a different licensing on the pay-per-views. So there you go. So that would not have counted with those pay-per-view problems, with last year's Royal Rumble being so incredibly scarily low. All right. Let's talk about some of the news stories. I don't know if you've heard, but Sid Vicious was arrested with marijuana. And I don't remember the exact amount they said, but it was enough. He had to pay $1,000 to get out of jail on bond. So he will be going back to court for that. We'll see how that turns out. Jeff Hardy, he had his hearing postponed again. He was supposed to enter a plea deal, and he was going to go and plead guilty and get this deal and walk out of there, and it's supposed to be, you know, pay a fine, whatever, and he'd be fine. And they've backed off of it. They asked for another continuance. Now, it seems like, man, this thing's been dragged on forever. This happens all the time. I'm not a lawyer. I used to work with lawyers, and I can tell you this happens all the time. Continuances, just whatever. Now, having a plea deal and then walking away from it, generally, it means that the person who's going to enter the plea finds some new set of information that they believe can work in their favor. So they've worked out an agreement, they've worked out a plea deal, they're going to plead guilty and whatever, but then there's some new information, some new witness comes forward, some piece of evidence, or they find that a piece of evidence that the prosecution has been relying on is somehow wrong. You know, someone wrote the wrong date or time on the citation, on the ticket, whatever, and then it becomes, then it can be thrown out of court. You know, it's some sort of technicality that they found that they can cause to hang up the entire process. So that's probably what happened there, is they found something that they think is going to go in their favor, and they're going to try to plead for a new deal from the district attorney. So I'd say that overall it's probably a good deal for Jeff Hardy. Great Khali did an appearance in Ludhiana, Punjab, apparently. Anyway, he had made some sort of appearance, and then he said he left, and one of the bodyguards who, you know, was kind of working crowd control, was intoxicated, got into an altercation, pulled out a gun, shot into a crowd, into the air, something, somebody got injured. And so the storyline was Great Khali involved in shooting. But apparently he wasn't there. He'd been gone for a while. And so, you know, whatever. So he wasn't really involved, but they've been kind of selling like, you know, Great Khali involved in shooting. But no, no big deal. Kurt Angle, he left the TNA European Tour to make it home. His wife, or not his wife, his fiance, excuse me, some model, Yannotti, Giovanna Yannotti. She was pregnant. She had passed out. She was apparently dehydrated or had blood pressure issues, something like that. She had passed out. They had to induce labor 3 weeks ahead of time, which is... That's still, 3 weeks early is within still a safe realm, you know, pretty safe. I mean, obviously, as close to the due date as possible is going to be the healthiest for the child. But 3 weeks early is not, you know, not terrible. I mean, it's a big deal. For Kurt Angle to worry about his wife going into labor 3 weeks early, yes, that's a big deal. But medically speaking, not that big of a danger. I mean, you know, the baby will make a recovery. The wife's going to make a recovery. But they did induce the labor, get the baby out. The baby was 5.5 pounds, 18 inches long. And, you know, Angle made it home in time to be with her. And she's going to recover. Baby's going to recover. So there you go. Let's see. One interesting, this is not really a wrestling-related story. This is a UFC story. But I think it's going to play in. UFC has filed a lawsuit against Justin TV. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Justin TV, but Justin TV started out because this guy, Justin, decided to put his life on TV. And this happened a couple times. I remember there was some girl, can't remember her name, Jenny Cam, I think it was, and Jenny had Jenny Cam, and it was her life. It was on TV, and she showed her boobs a couple times, and so people paid money for this membership and whatever. But for Justin TV, this guy Justin wanted to put his life on TV, put cameras in his house, broadcast it, and it just kind of became this place where people can hook up their webcams and just broadcast themselves. And so that's what they've been doing. Well, the problem with Justin TV is that people found that using this broadcast software, they can use the TV capture cards in their computers, or they can order the online streams from different pay-per-view providers, and they can broadcast pay-per-views over Justin TV. And so Justin TV has basically become a nexus, or a core, if you prefer, of people who are bootlegging, streaming copyrighted material. And so just about every UFC pay-per-view, every WWE pay-per-view, every TNA pay-per-view, you can find streams of on Justin TV. It's very easy to do. They had Senate hearings about Justin TV last year, and Justin TV said, basically, listen, we can't possibly monitor everybody, and we shouldn't have to. There are laws that are called safe harbor laws, where we just provide an environment, and if a copyright holder comes up and says, remove it, we will remove it. No questions asked. They said, this is copyrighted, this is ours, take it down, and they take it down. UFC argues they should have to work harder to keep copyrighted material off of these websites. And so they have sued Justin TV. And here's the thing, is that if they can win a lawsuit against Justin TV, well, then WWE is going to be right there. WWE and TNA will both file lawsuits. ROH, Dragon Gate USA, anybody who has had pay-per-view events can join in those lawsuits. So it'll be interesting to see how this lawsuit plays out. And on the one hand, you have to say, well, yeah, this is their copyrighted material. People don't have any right to steal it, so they should sue them. On the other hand, there's, you know, this argument that when you go in and you try to regulate a place like this, and you try to say that the people who make this possible are responsible for blocking it from happening, then it creates all these pitfalls where, well, who's responsible for who posts stuff on your site? You know, people go on the Huffington Post all the time, and they're like, we need to firebomb Sarah Palin's house. And you know, if Sarah Palin's house gets firebombed, are you going to arrest the people at the Huffington Post for allowing these nut jobs to post these threatening comments? You know what I mean? You got to figure out, you know, who's really responsible. If you post a comment saying something like that, and then it happens, should you be a suspect? Absolutely. But should the people who run the website where you posted that comment be held liable? I don't think so. And so that's kind of the same idea behind a place like Justin TV. If someone comes up and says, hey, you're broadcasting something that's copyrighted, they will cut off that broadcast. They've done their job. I don't think you can really hold them liable to really check on everything. One last thing here is someone wanted to know about the core, and I forget who asked me, so I apologize, but someone asked me about the core. Why is it C-O-R-R-E? Well, there's two main reasons. One, it comes from, it's a European word, and I say it's a European word because it's a word, you find versions of it, similar spellings. It comes from a Latin root, but there's a, you know, German version, a French version, you know, whatever. And it basically, the root means to run. So it, on the one hand, it's kind of like a play on words with this idea that they are going to run things as the core. And the core sounds kind of cool. I mean, you just say, hey, we're the core. That spelling of it, it's this European word to run, like they're running things. But it was also used by a commune, a French commune, and they worked on this idea that, you know, it's a commune, communist. There are no leaders. All the people work together. And Wade Barrett gave a promo on Raw last week where he basically said, we are the core. There is no leader. I was so obsessed running Nexus about being the WWE champion and humiliating John Cena. I wasn't working for the good of the group. I was working for the good of myself. So therefore, with the core, there are no leaders. We are all working together for one common good. And so the idea with the core now is that they are banding together as equals as opposed to the Nexus, or the new Nexus, if you prefer, which is banding together in order to work off the faith that CM Punk can lead them to this utopia, this wrestling utopia. Basically, the new Nexus is the new straight-edge society, but with workers they don't think are going to flake out and be gone in 6 months. And so there you go. Okay, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw, this show, all over the place, it was not good. It wasn't extremely terrible in a lot of places, but they did a lot of things wrong in this show. Starting with the opening match, Edge versus Miz. They had Edge come out here to start this match. Champion versus champion, and they're billing it here as being the opening match on Raw. And they basically, whoever wrote this promo, they wrote him a John Cena face promo and gave it to Edge. And for those of you who've seen wrestling for more than, like, I don't know, 10 minutes, you'd know that Edge and John Cena do not have similar styles. They do not cut similar promos. And Edge went out to cut this promo, and it just came across as so terrible. And, I mean, God bless the guy. He delivered it as best he could, but it was just not a good promo. Not a good fit for him. He wanted to start this match, and the general manager chimed in, said, no, it's going to happen later, but right now, since this is a Royal Rumble go-home show, we're going to have a mini Rumble right now. If one of these guys throws you out of the ring, they get to be the coveted number 40 in the Royal Rumble. So they brought out Drew McIntyre, who's now a face, by the way. If you missed SmackDown last week, he switched to face in 1 week. Drew McIntyre's face, Tyson Kidd, and Jack Swagger. And really, I mean, if you think about it, these are the guys they have versus Edge for the number 40 spot? Amazing. So, Edge just basically tossed everybody out. He won. Dorked out all three of those guys. And so then basically said now he's going to do something that he would enjoy. He's going to destroy that laptop. Got the crowd to pop for it. And out came Wade Barrett and the new Nexus, now known as the Core. And somehow, Edge just disappeared. He just teleported out from ringside, whatever. So anyway, talked about the Core, talked about the group, talked about winning the Royal Rumble. Out came the new Nexus and CM Punk. Oh wait, I'm sorry. CM Punk came out first with the Nexus. I'm trying to do this by memory instead of, I should pay attention to my notes. CM Punk came out first with the new Nexus, talked about winning the Royal Rumble, then came out the Core and Wade Barrett. They talked about winning the Royal Rumble. The two sides were going to face off. They had Ezekiel Jackson cut a promo in his funky accent that seemed to change with every word. They had Mason Ryan cut his promo with an accent that seemed to change with every word. The two of them had a face-off. It looked like you were going to get a match between the two worst wrestlers in the company at the moment. But instead, the GM dinged in, said that it would be Wade Barrett versus CM Punk, and whichever team loses, each guy was going to represent their team, and whoever lost, their team was out of the Royal Rumble. And just to make it interesting, John Cena is going to be the special guest referee. This was segment one of the show, folks. This was one long, unending segment. Started out with Edge, looked like we were going to get a Miz match. We got a Rumble, a mini Rumble. He dorked out a bunch of guys. Out came the new Nexus. Out came the Core. They had a face-off, cut a promo, got set up for a match. Whole lot of stuff thrown into this one little segment for really no reason. We had Sheamus versus Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio versus John Morrison and Mark Henry. Imagine that, Mark Henry. Morrison at one point did a jump to the outside, grabbed his knee, looked like he may have actually hurt himself, and I haven't really heard one way or another. But it ended up with Mark Henry versus Alberto Del Rio, which looked like Del Rio was obviously going to lose because he's a little guy. They've been kind of pushing Mark Henry, but he put Del Rio into his armbar submission and got the tap. So Alberto Del Rio, they're playing up his submission. Good for him. They had Natalya versus Melina for the women's title because Melina won some sort of three-way match like a month or so ago. They completely forgot to follow up on it. So they did it here tonight just to have Melina get jobbed out so that they could bring out, Michelle McCool and Layla to make fat jokes about Natalya and set up for a match at the pay-per-view. Whatever. Here's the thing. Natalya, not fat. They did this whole thing with Mickie James as Piggy James, and granted, Mickie James had probably put on 8 pounds. She was not the, beanpole that she had been at one point. So it's, oh boy, she put on almost 10 pounds of body weight. Now she's a pig. Natalya is not fat. She's not, I don't think, she's got wide shoulders, you know, kind of stocky, wide hips. But look at her waist. Look at her thighs. Look at her arms. There's no fat. She's not fat. So whatever. They had Punk backstage with his Nexus. They had Husky Harris show doubt. Mason Ryan stepped in. They had McGillicuddy show doubt. CM Punk told him not to worry about it. They went down on one knee. They talked about faith, and there you go. They had John Cena cut a promo talking about how he'd be a fair ref. They had Miz walk up and just talk about how he would beat John Cena if John Cena won the Rumble. And Cena just basically says, it doesn't matter. You're going to lose at the Rumble. You're not going to win your rematch. You're not even going to make it to Mania, so you don't even matter. Walked out on him, and they just had Miz like, oh, really? Blah, and Miz looked retarded, and Miz is retarded, and so there you go. They had Miz versus Edge here, the champion versus champion match, Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero at commentary. And here's, okay, there's been a lot of negative comments made about Dolph Ziggler on commentary here. They said he didn't sell his match at the pay-per-view. He didn't do enough to run down Edge, to build up his match. But you know what? Dolph Ziggler on commentary here was 100 times more interesting than anybody they've had do commentary at ringside in months. I mean, he and Vicky, Jerry Lawler, they just did such a great job of being entertaining. They didn't pull away from the match. They didn't, you know, make you hate the match you were watching on TV by throwing in random comments that had nothing to do with it. They just had an interesting conversation. They were talking about Edge. They were talking about the match. They didn't necessarily sell the match as a go-home for the pay-per-view, but they didn't take away from it either. So they had Miz and Edge do this long match, and Edge just beat up on Miz the entire time, made him look like a total dork, which he is. Miz is worthless, continue to be booked worthless. And then finally, Edge was about to win. They had Ziggler just run up there and trip Edge for no reason, get the DQ, and then jump in the ring. And I think everybody was getting hit with finishers and whatever, and Randy Orton ran out, and he started hitting everybody with RKOs, and then Miz grabbed the briefcase and hit him in the leg, and it hit him hard enough to make him drop to one knee for a half second, and then jump back up and kick the briefcase and chase after Miz to the ropes, and then just make faces at him while he left. So, I mean, it just kind of, the end here, when you have Ziggler run in, well, he gets jobbed out by Randy Orton so that Randy Orton can look tough. But, you know, then it makes Ziggler look like just another geek way below the level of Randy Orton, way below the level of Edge. So, it worked to a certain point, but then it also took a lot away from other things that were going on. They had Wade Barrett backstage talking to Josh Matthews. Talked about the core, talked about John Cena as the special ref, and whatever. They had Daniel Bryan and the Bellas versus Ted DiBiase, Maurice, Alicia Fox. Short match, went nowhere. One of the Bellas tried to get it on with Daniel Bryan on ringside, and so the other Bella got mad, she got distracted, she got rolled up, she got pinned. Maurice was celebrating that she's a winner, talked about DiBiase being a loser. Those two people should have broken up a month ago, and yet for some reason they still have them together and just have them fight every week. I don't know, there's some dysfunctional family there. They cut to backstage, and the Bellas were arguing, and Daniel Bryan was not there with them. He was gone, and they were talking about who's going to steal his virginity first. They opened up his locker room. He's making out with Gail Kim. And they said, wait a minute, you're making out with Gail Kim? We thought you were, and he said, a vegan? Yes, I don't eat meat. And they gave each other this weird look, and it's like they didn't even start to say a word that starts with V. They didn't, you know, he jumped in way too early on the joke, but whatever. So then they had Gail Kim get up in their face, and they said that she was just an afterthought, and she said something about how, you know, Daniel Bryan was only hanging out with them because he felt sorry, because since there's no celebrity hosts on Raw anymore, there's nothing for them to do, which is absolutely true. And so they got into some big slip the slap fights, whatever, and everybody, for some reason, when Bella Twins attack Gail Kim and Daniel Bryan, there's like 9,000 people backstage, security and referees, to run into the dressing room to pull them apart. So there you go. They had Kozlov and Santino versus McGillicuddy, Husky Harris in a tag match. Just basically had Santino and Kozlov lose to these guys in a non-title match, I guess, so they can set up a title match. But, you know, whatever. It wasn't really that big of a deal. Then we finally got our CM Punk versus Wade Barrett match with John Cena, special guest referee. They had John Cena attack Barrett. He attacked CM Punk. He wouldn't let them attack him because, of course, he's the referee. CM Punk, I think, threw Wade Barrett out, so then he threw out CM Punk. They both yelled at him, so he DQ'd both teams for excessive profanity on a PG show. So the referee announced that both teams were out of the Rumble. So John Cena leaves to celebrate. The general manager sends out a decree saying that he can't reverse the decision of the match, which I believe he's done in the past already, but he says he can reinstate both teams back into the Rumble, so both teams are back in, so the stipulation of the match is thrown out the window, so there's another reason why no one should care about stipulations in these matches. Then said John Cena should go back and apologize to both teams for screwing him over like that. So John Cena goes back down, apologizes, takes off the ref shirt, beats the crap out of everybody. So, of course, this is the Royal Rumble go-home show, so for no reason, a bunch of people started running down to the ring. Everybody from the Nexus, everybody from the Core, everybody just jumped in the ring and did big pile-ons, and Yoshitatsu and Darren Young and whoever else, all the random people ran out, and they had a big fight in the ring, and before anything was resolved or anybody really got thrown out, the show went off the air. Which, no Triple H making an appearance, so you're not going to tune into the Rumble to see him, which I think would have helped with buys. You got no clear, you've got 40 people in this match. Who? You got no clear rundown of who these people are that are going to be in the match. And I'm wondering now if Awesome Kong is going to be one of the random people to appear in the match. I kind of hope that just this music hits and people are like, who is this? And out she comes and she eliminates a couple people. That would be great. I would definitely flip out for that. I know Rob Bass would too. But, you didn't get any clear list of who these 40 people are that are going to be in the match. You really got no good Edge versus Ziggler. You got no real good Miz versus RKO. RKO, Randy Orton. There was nothing that really hammered home, like, wow, I really need to watch this show. Like, it just, I said before that, Royal Rumble is one of those shows I've always ordered, I've always watched, I've always had an interest in, more so than any SummerSlam or Survivor Series or anything else. WrestleMania, obviously, you always watch that, and Rumble, the Royal Rumble has always been one that I've paid attention to. But they've really done a bad job this year, just like they did last year, and unless maybe something big happens on SmackDown. SmackDown last week was not the best show they've ever done, but it was still pretty good. The last 2 weeks of SmackDown were great, but for whatever reason, last week's episode of SmackDown was the highest-rated SmackDown on Sci-Fi they've done since they've made the switch. And they're hoping for another big crowd, this Friday night. So the hope is they're going to do something on SmackDown that's going to be big. I've looked at the spoilers. I don't really see it, but you have to wait to see how things come across on TV. Maybe they'll really hammer it home on SmackDown, but it's really going to be odd to see how everything shakes out at this Royal Rumble. I don't have a lot of high hopes. I don't think it's going to break 300,000 buys domestically. I'll be surprised if it does 260,000 buys domestically. Worldwide, you might get 400, but I really just don't see it. Maybe 380 worldwide and 220 domestic. It's gonna be pretty bad. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Again, thanks for the voicemail. Hopefully we can figure out if the voicemail problem was on my end or his end, if he wants to call in again sometime in the future, maybe get a better message. And again, Oscar, if you're listening, I got your voicemail. I'll try to give you a call early next week, see if we can set something up. But anyway, guys, everybody, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you later.